This is a shocking story at the New York Times. I hope you pay attention to every word of it. You cannot make this up. A New York Times reporter has just been outed and is now being investigated by the New York Times, and sources say she's been fired for two reasons. One, for making up fake news and fabricating the now famous mass rape hoax story that the New York Times ran as a cover story, which has now been fully debunked. And two, the second reason she's been fired, just so happens to be a former Israeli intelligence officer who worked in the Israeli Air Force.
Oh, you missed that one, did you?
I mean, this is who the New York Times hires to be their reporters. It gets worse, by the way. It gets worse. I'm just starting. This is really a shocking story about really how the deep state plants people inside of newsrooms to get propaganda pushed out to the masses, and how the New York Times, of course, is one of the most corrupt news organizations in the world. Are you wondering, by the way, how the hell the New York Times just managed to get this exclusive scoop of a story about all of these CIA offices in Ukraine? It wasn't a scoop. They were invited by the CIA to come to Ukraine and walk those offices. They are a mouthpiece of the intelligence community. So when you read a New York Times article, always remember that, folks. They are not a news organization. They are a mouthpiece of the intelligence community. They are corrupt. As Americans, we should be asking, how does Israeli intelligence, though, a whole other country, manage to plant a fake reporter in an American news outlet like the New York Times and then let her publish a front page story? It gets worse. So let's actually go through some of these details here. The article in question that set off a firestorm was titled thusly, Screams Without Words, How Hamas Weaponized Sexual Violence on October 7th. Now, we're not saying that sexual violence didn't happen on October 7th. That's not what this story is about today. What we're specifically focusing on is this fake story, okay? That's what we're focusing on. And then how it was parroted around the mainstream media like CNN, BBC, Fox News, all over the place. So just so we're clear what we're talking about here. So this was published just after Christmas on December 28th, that news story. And it set off a firestorm. Three so-called reporters were on the byline of this story. So three reporters at the New York Times contributed to this story, this now debunked story. One of which was this woman. A woman by the name of Anat Schwartz. There she is. Keep her up on the screen, if you will. She's playing with her hair. She's teasing her hair. You can see she was born in Israel and served in the IDF intelligence service for the Israeli Air Force. We know this thanks to amazing reporting over the past few hours from Zay Squirrel on X. Even friend of the show Glenn Greenwald had this to say about Squirrel. One of the most significant journalistic scandals at the New York Times in the last couple of years was broken by Zay Squirrel. Yeah, in the past 24 hours. We already knew the article had been debunked, but thanks to this guy, Squirrel, we now know her IDF connections and her social media posts about annihilating Palestinians. More on that part of the story in a second. So she liked to talk about that on social media. What else do we know about her, though? Well, we know she's never once in her... Listen to this. She's never once in her life published another news article.
Wait, what?
She's never... I'll repeat it for those paying attention. She's never once in her life published another news article. Meaning she's never written a single piece of journalism, published journalism, ever. But she somehow got to publish a front page story at the New York Times. How exactly does that happen? Imagine that hiring meeting for a second. Let's just role play this. Well, Mrs. Schwartz, good to see you here. Looks like we got your writing resume here in front of me. I see you've never written anything before in your entire life that's been published in any newspaper or any magazine, not even Cat Fancy magazine. You did make a film, but you never written anything, and no one has ever heard of you before, but we received a phone call from the Israeli intelligence service, and well, good news, you're hired.
Because I was thinking.
And we're going to put you on the front page.
Anybody can decide to be a journalist if you disclose your biases. Anybody can be a trustworthy journalist if you disclose your biases, right? So had that article been true, And had she been an experienced journalist, or had she said, I know this from these internal sources, that would be fine, right? We're not saying that someone who has a past in Israeli army could never be a trustworthy journalist. That's not the case. But having no small market experience, never been a journalist before.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't fly. If you've been in the business, you know, as journalists, we have to start in small markets with small papers and work our way up. You don't start at the paper of record, New York Times.
Yeah, you don't start at the New York Times.
No.
I mean, I guess unless the Israeli intelligence service gets you a job there and plants you in that newsroom. But it gets worse because Zay Squirrel found out Schwartz was simultaneously still working for Israel's state-run media while also working at the New York Times.
Okay, so all of this benefit of the doubt I'm giving her is dying on the vine right now, right before our very eyes.
And how do we know that? We know this because it's on her frickin' Wikipedia or his LinkedIn page. So she's working for Israeli Public Broadcasting at the same time that she's working at the New York Times. But even beyond working for Israeli intelligence is the fact that she has a history of liking social media posts that call for the total annihilation of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. So maybe she could have disclosed that in her article, like, hey, I'm the reporter on this story. Hey, by the way, I would love to see Palestinians annihilated. She could have put that in the story. Maybe we wouldn't have thought she's an actual reporter. We would have gotten accurate information. She liked this tweet, for instance. Here's a tweet she liked on October 7th, where this guy says, quote, you can see that Anant liked this tweet. She says, he says, turn the strip into a slaughterhouse. If a hair falls from their head, execute security prisoners. Violate any norm on the way to victory for them to see and be seen. So she liked that tweet, you know, annihilate them.
I learned a term for this today. It's called offense archaeology.
Okay.
When you look through somebody's social media and see what they've done in the past that is relevant, just thought I'd share. It's called offense archaeology. Well, that one's
offensive.
Yeah, that's pretty offensive.
So this New York Times article, and here's again the front page to remind you of this, screams without words how Hamas weaponized sexual violence on October 7th. Look at this family, right? This family, of course, the way the New York Times paints it is they're in ruins, of course, and they're you know, detailing here the sexual violence against this family's daughter and their history of sexual violence and the killing of babies to terrorize the Israelis on October 7th. The article, of course, has been totally debunked by the great reporting at the Gray Zone, who first debunked this. They were the first to debunk it, and then others came along and also debunked it. Other news organizations have now done the same about this original New York Times fake story. So even the Israeli family featured in this New York Times article refuted the story. The family whose photo you saw there. No, our daughter wasn't raped. We can't believe the New York Times actually said that, the family said. So the Israeli family featured in that photo of this article said the New York Times manipulated them. The family told Israeli newspapers that the New York Times fabricated the rape part of the story. There's no evidence our daughter was raped. Whoops. Well, we're the New York Times. We just wanted to stick some rape in there. You know, sorry, we needed to spice it up a little bit. I guess that's what the New York Times does. Just add a little bit of rape to a story.
All the murder wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. It wouldn't get eyes on their on their article.
We need to also say that your daughter was raped when she wasn't. We just got to add that in here. But here's the amazing piece of this, if it's not amazing enough already. The Israeli police issued a statement before the New York Times ran that piece. The Israeli police told the New York Times they have zero evidence of rape. And they said they haven't been able to find anyone or any eyewitnesses to confirm it. And there's no evidence whatsoever. And they told the New York Times this. Israel police told them before the piece ran, and the New York Times didn't include that piece of information in their article. Like, oh, the Israeli police reached out to us for comment before this piece ran. They told us they have zero evidence of the rapes that we're cataloging in this entire piece that have now been debunked. The Israeli police said they debunked it. But the damage was done because CNN, Fox News, all of these people ran this story about how Hamas, you know, killed babies and then raped Israelis on that day. and they cited this story. CNN can confirm these stories.
We have some really disturbing new information out of Israel. The Israeli Prime Minister's spokesman just confirmed babies and toddlers were found with their heads decapitated in Kfar Aza in southern Israel after Hamas attacks in the kibbutz over the weekend. That has been confirmed by the Prime Minister's office.
Yeah. So the Prime Minister's office confirmed that. So did the New York Times. So interestingly, the New York Times also has a podcast called The Daily. And The Daily was all set to publish a companion podcast about this rape article where they would then talk about it. So it's like a director's track. You know, here's our article that we stand by, you know, this fake rape article that's been debunked. And here's our podcast where we're going to talk about the article. We'll invite our reporters on to talk about it, right? That it did. So apparently internally, they were having doubts about this article because there's a lot of people coming out debunking this story. They're like, should we run this daily podcast as well? Because, I don't know. According to The Intercept, there were suddenly discussions about delaying the podcast or even editing it. Instead, they did nothing. They decide, no, we're not going to shelve it. We're not going to edit it. We're just going to run it as is. So we're going to double down on our bad reporting and we're just going to add more fuel to the fire, so to speak. They doubled down on the fake story. Well, since the news broke then, Anat Schwartz set her account to private, of course. So she set her account to private, and while she set it private, she was busy scrubbing her entire history. And then she reopened the account and she published the account again where it was available, and you could see that she had removed all of the we should annihilate Palestinians tweets and likes and all of that. So she had gone through and scrubbed it. And then once that was not enough, then she decided to totally delete her account. So you can now see that the account is totally gone. This account doesn't exist anymore. So she deleted it. There were two other reporters, by the way, on this story. Adam Sella and then also Jeffrey Gettleman. Turns out that Sella is just 24 years old and is the nephew of Anat Schwartz.
Get out of here.
So the Israeli intelligence officer, the girl who just closed her Twitter account and who's masquerading as a New York Times reporter, he's the nephew through marriage of Anat Schwartz. So they're really keeping this in the family, you know, in this New York Times, in this New York Times newsroom here. It gets worse, though. As Zay Squirrel reported on X, this guy Sella has never written a piece like this before. He'd only written food reviews.
Well, that's quite a promotion, then. That's nice that he gets this important intelligence story.
So he's now a front page New York Times reporter, also the nephew of Anat Schwartz, she never published anything. Man, the New York Times really shooting for the stars here.
Food reviews of Palestinian food? Like, is there any correlation at all? Or
well, let's zoom in on that.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
What kind of food is this?
I don't know. What's a
sustainable food is his.
Yeah, so here, take a look. Here it is. So here's Zay Squirrel's tweet on this. He says, if I told you that the New York Times hired a recently graduated college student with only a couple of prior articles written on the subject of food and cooking to be their lead on the ground reporter on the mass rape hoax they fabricated, would you believe it? That's Adam Sella right there. My background working for various publications and food companies combined with my hands-on work in kitchens and farms makes me well-suited to write about sustainable food.
Sustainable food only.
So how does an Israeli
go ahead. I want to apply for a job at New York Times now, because with my editing experience, my actual editing experience, I freaking be CEO. Yeah. Or at least be in charge of their global broadcasting that were, you know, all videos.
You can run the place.
I mean, I actually have experience.
No, you're overqualified for the New York Times.
I'm overqualified.
You have to be 24 and have no journalistics experience at all, basically.
You're a little too up on the news, Philip, having worked on Redacted for several years.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. You're overqualified.
I guess I got that, and I never worked for the CIA, and neither does any of my relatives. So I guess that does disqualify me right there.
Disqualified.
Yeah, you're disqualified.
You have no biases and you don't like war. Get the heck out of here.
So how does an Israeli intelligence officer and her nephew, who's never written a piece like this, get put on this story? Oh, wait, there's one more reporter. There was three, remember? Who's the other reporter on the story? Ah, they had to put in a guy who's been around for a while at the New York Times to maybe give this story some legitimacy. This is Jeffrey Gettleman. There is his glamour shot. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner at the New York Times, foreign correspondent. He's written a memoir called Love in Africa, right? So there's Jeffrey Gettleman, New York Times reporter. He's the third reporter on this story. So Gettleman, I guess, adds his name to the story to legitimize the story. I don't exactly know, but that seems to be the case here. Because what evidence do you have, Jeffrey, that the story you wrote, that these women were actually raped? What evidence do you have as a reporter? I mean, reporters go through evidence, right? And the police even told you before the piece ran that they had zero evidence. So what evidence do you have about this? Where's your evidence? Well, he was asked about this, Jeffrey Gettleman. He was asked about this at a reporter forum. Watch.
I don't want to even use the word evidence, because evidence is almost like a legal term that suggests you're trying to prove an allegation or prove a case in court. That's not my role. We all have our roles, and my role is to document, is to present information, is to give people a voice. And we found information.
It's not evidence.
So we don't have any evidence. I'm not going to use the word evidence. I mean, this is...
It's information. We might have made it up.
We might have made it up, but
I'm losing my damn mind here. Like without evidence, you're just making stuff up.
Right.
If you don't have evidence, like, it's an opinion piece.
Yeah.
Like, even opinion pieces sometimes use evidence. Like, what the hell, man? Like, use the word evidence and then use evidence.
Like this idiot.
Yeah, because evidence is what creates the information.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't have one without the other.
Like this idiot in the chat.
Or else it's fiction.
Like this idiot in the chat says, Alberto, he says, redacted stands with Hamas. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, you
moron?
Get
the hell out of here.
Idiot. What we're talking about is a specific New York Times story infiltrated by Israeli intelligence. That's the focus of this segment, you moron. So the New York Times still has the article available, which has been debunked and is fake news. It's still on their website, and they haven't even issued a correction. The only correction, if you read the article, if you scroll to the bottom of it, is about the age of a person in the article. They corrected her age. Not that the whole article is fake, and it's all been debunked, and the family says you made it up, and the Israeli police say you made it up. But it's still up on their website. And so at this hour, according to Zay Squirrel, she is out of a job, but I guess under an investigation by the New York Times.
But did she really have a job, given that this was her first story?
I mean, here's the thing.
Did she have medical equipment or medical coverage in a 401k? It seems like she was not that well established.
I mean, this is the thing. You can throw her under the bus then, right? She was a rogue reporter. But we at the New York Times we didn't know about this. She's mm-hmm. a rogue reporter. We didn't realize that she was secretly worked for the Israeli intelligence. But we've got our newsroom under control here.
Mm-hmm.
And her nephew, the 24-year-old food writer, we're going to talk to him as well. But don't worry about it. We're going to put him back on the food beat. He'll be covering restaurants in the Upper West Side.
Okay.
So that's your New York Times, one of the most corrupt newspapers in America, the paper of record. I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.